Heavenly Father, we just come to you and all over you. Thank you and praise you for this time. Lord, I pray that you would not only speak through me, but empty me of myself. And Lord, let your very words be able to find fertile ground as we look at a story about a person named Zacchaeus. Lord, we ask that we would learn our lessons well, and that, Lord, that we would actually just draw closer to you. Be with Pastor Bill and the Bryant family. And Lord, be with those that actually are sick among us. Bring healing toward them. But right now, Lord, we ask that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and most of all, a heart to understand the love that you have for us. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that Pastor Bill has expounded upon this verse or verses. There's only 8 verses, but there's a lot here. Well, let's get started. I put a title to this. It's 2 viewpoints. One, the viewpoint of Jesus. The other, the viewpoint of Zacchaeus. One is looking for a heart. The other one is looking for Jesus. Okay, so keep that in mind. Zacchaeus, this is, climbed a tree and risked ridicule to see Jesus. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, and for he was going to pass that way. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jericho was an ancient, an important city, and as Jesus passed through the city on his way to Jerusalem, it seemed that the reason was to meet this man named Zacchaeus. Jericho was a prosperous city. It had a great palm forest, worldwide balsam groves which perfumed the air for miles around. Its gardens of roses were known far and wide. Man called it the city of palms. Josephus called it a divine region, the fatness in Palestine. The Romans carried its dates and balsam to worldwide trade and fame. This Jericho is the same as the one in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. The same Jericho, this name Jericho means fragrant in Hebrew. Now you can tell why, right? But this is the same city that was told in Joshua 6:26. Joshua said, then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who raises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundations with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up the gates. In 1 Kings 16:34, in his days of Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid his foundations with Aram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Sibol. He set up his gates, according to the word of God, which he has spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. So, you can see that God's word is true. And whatever we're told, these people were told not to do, they did. And that's what it cost this king. It cost him his 2 sons. What I want you to consider is that what is it causing you? What is it that you're building upon that God is telling you that it's not what you're supposed to do. Okay? This person named Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He's a tax collector. It'd be like the IRS. Right? This is Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, but he was a chief tax collector. Okay? The Jews hated men like him. This was not only due to their natural dislike of taxes, but more so because of the practice known as tax farming. The collector made his profit on whatever extra he could get away with, charging his victims. A tax collector was highly motivated to make taxes as high as possible. When the tax collectors came to John the Baptist, asking how they could get right with God, he told them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Okay? In Luke 3:13, if you were a tax collector and you were rich and you were rogue. A rogue is a dishonest, unworthy person, a scoundrel. Boy, what titles to carry. Huh? In Luke 3:13, it says, he said unto them, enact no more than that which is appointed to you. More is on chief collector. This title is not found anywhere else, so it is precise. Significance is unknown, but it seems to point to the head of the local taxation department. So he was in charge of a lot of other tax collectors. Now, the name Zacchaeus means pure one. Think about that. This man was anything but pure until he received Jesus. He should, by his name, have been a Puritan in the best sense. But he was an arch publican, a public sinner, a simple but subtle and creeping extortioner, a rich and wretched sycophant. I think that's what the word is. He sought to see who Jesus was. Zacchaeus wanted to set his eyes on Jesus. He sought after him. Perhaps Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus accepted people like him. He longed to see this remarkable man, Jesus, for himself. His stature was of short stature. His natural state gave him a disadvantage in seeking after Jesus. He was probably affected by his personality, small in size. We can imagine how Zacchaeus was mocked and hated by others, and how he returned the favor by increasing the taxes on his victims. Okay? If Zacchaeus had a small heart, he would have given up and not worked to see Jesus, but Zacchaeus had a great will to grow rich. And he had found there was a way to that. And now he had a great will to see Jesus, and he was not the sort of person to be stopped. He ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Because Zacchaeus saw Jesus so intensely, he didn't mind doing something that many thought was beneath the dignity of a grown wealthy man. He climbed up a sycamore tree. Now, when was the last time you did something like that for Christ? No. But he's anxious. He's excited. He wants to see Jesus. That's his intention. Okay? He climbed a tree like a little boy, and without knowing, fulfilled Jesus' word that unless we become like children, we will not see the kingdom of God. If you want to be able to receive exactly what God is saying to you, you have to receive it like a child. Because if you start looking at it as an adult, you're going to start reasoning upon yourself and upon your heart as to what God is trying to tell you, and you're going to come up with your own conclusion what God is saying. Okay? But this man is that way. He wants to hear what Jesus is saying, and he wants to see him. And that's the attitude that we should have. We have a big opportunity not only to see him, because we will see him. If you know him, you will see him one day face to face. Okay? In Matthew 18:3, it says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." A traveler describes the tree as being like the English oak, and its shade is most pleasing, and it is very easy to climb. It's barkly. I wish there were more of us who did not mind being laughed at if only what we did help us to see Jesus. Well, that's pretty good, huh? Why be ashamed of being ridiculed because you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Luke 19:5 through 6, it says, Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. Okay? Jesus invited himself to his house. There are many people that have not opened their hearts to Christ. There are many that probably are still struggling with their walk with Christ. And yet Jesus is standing at the door and knocking and waiting patiently for that person to open the door of their heart. This is Zacchaeus looking for Jesus. And Jesus looking up and saying, "I'm coming to your house." What would happen if you met Jesus on the side of the road? He said, I came and I'm going to your house. Would it excite you? Would it frighten you? Would it actually throw a jar all your plans? Would you make an excuse and say, "Oh no, you can't come now, my house's not clean"? I mean, you know, give me time, I'll fix it up and then you can come. Okay? Many people are at that stage. And many have probably been told time and time again that unless you accept Jesus Christ, you can't come to heaven. Because the Lord Jesus himself said, he says, "I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." See, there's only one way to get to heaven. And his name is Jesus. And if Jesus is piercing your heart even now, whether you walk with him and you stray away from him, he's probably calling you back and saying, "You know what, let's get together. Let's have this relationship we once had." If you know him, then he's saying, "Hold on." Just like the last song that we sang. He's saying, "Hold on to that. Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, you don't have any answers. But it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. What matters is your heart. And that is what Jesus is coming for. A heart of a man that's willing to climb a tree to see him. What obstacle have we ever climbed to get to Jesus? I'll leave that for you to ponder in your heart. Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus. He says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He looked up and saw him, because Zacchaeus worked hard and risked embarrassment to see Jesus. Jesus saw him and did not pass him by. In the best sense, Zacchaeus stood out to Jesus, and Jesus connected with him. Zacchaeus made haste. Jesus started by calling Zacchaeus by name. He knew the importance of a person's name. This may have been the first time Zacchaeus heard someone besides his mother say his name in kindness. All the time he's been a scoundrel, you know, a chief tax collector, the only one that wants to collect money and get rich. But here's Jesus with a kind word telling him, saying, calling him, this is something that you need to think about. He called him out by name. Now that should tell us that God knows everything about us. And yet at the same time, he knows so much about us that we have to go to him to find out exactly what he does know about us. Because if you knew everything that Jesus knows about you, my question to you would be, how much do you know about him? See, we have a God that can tell me and tell you who we are. But what can we say about the Lord that we serve? What can we say about him? Saying his name made all the difference. Jesus told Zacchaeus, I know you, and I lay some claim upon you. And you think about all of that. God claims us because he created us. And he's saying, I want you to come home. I want you to come with me. And many hear the knock, but never answer the door. Jesus knew the importance of a name. He said that he called his sheep by name. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. John 10:3. In Revelation, we are promised a new name that only God and we know. When we get to heaven, there will be someone there who knows our name. So you're not going to be a stranger. Somebody's going to know you. It says, make haste and come down. Jesus told Zacchaeus to hurry and come down. If he did not hurry, the opportunity might be lost. If he did not lower himself, that he would never meet Jesus. This says to each, come down from your high places. The high place, Jesus would never have eaten with Zacchaeus if he stayed in the sycamore tree. And we have to look at it in a sense of what condition of our lives are we in that God is saying you need to come out of in order to be able to have fellowship with him the way you had before. Today, I must stay at your house. Jesus didn't merely want to preach to Zacchaeus. and convert him in a spiritual and religious way. Jesus wanted to have a real relationship with the kids, beginning with a meal, time spent together. Jesus invited himself to spend time with the kids and the hated outcast. The early church was despised for its acceptance of outcasts. In 1 Corinthians 1, 1 to 20, to 26 to 31, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, now not that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. The base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring not things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Very powerful words. "That according as it is written, he has grown, he has gloried, let him glory in the Lord." But the early Christians regarded this as something glorious, not shameful. "And receive him." Jesus would only come to the house of Zacchaeus and into his life if invited, if received. He received Jesus first and then started a relationship with him. And that is exactly where our walk starts. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus unless you receive him first. And if you have, then that relationship needs to grow. And the only way that it's going to grow is if we be like Zacchaeus, getting off the high places of thinking of intellect, education, or prosperity, looking at those things and saying, they don't belong to me, they belong to God. If I gave my life to God, that's his. I have nothing. And if you can approach him in that way every single day, your life is going to change. And it should change from the very first time that you spoke those words and said, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. I need a Savior. I can't help myself. I can't save myself. So where do I go from here?" Christ will not force himself into a man's house and sit there against the man's will. That would be the action of, would not be the action of a guest, but of an unwelcome intruder. Jesus is not an intruder. He's knocking at the door and saying, "Will you invite me in?" Perhaps Zacchaeus had a lot of questions, but he didn't ask them from the sycamore tree. He came down from the tree, met Jesus, and then asked him whatever he wanted to. Do you have questions for God? Go to your prayer room. Get on your knees and ask him anything you want. And then wait for him to be able to talk to you. See, we reverse it. We want to come to God and say, "Lord, this is my list. Let me tell you all about it." And God is listening to you and saying, "Okay, now let me show you my list. And let me tell you about you and where we stand. Which list is more important?" So he received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was happy to receive Jesus. Jesus called Zacchaeus to himself, and it was Jesus that he came, and happily so, Zacchaeus received him. That is Jesus himself, not primarily a creed, a doctrine, not a theory, not a ceremony, but to Jesus. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and would not be received in the city with joy, which was called the triumphal entry. Here, before that, he had a different entry into the heart of just one man. This entrance, this reception, seemed to be more lasting, if you have more lasting results. See, we come to hear a message. It'll tickle our ears. It'll excite our lives. But it'll make no changes. And Jesus is saying, no. If you want to come to me, there has to be a change. And if you're going to receive me joyfully, knowing that I'm going to do something for you that no one else can do. They can't save you. They can tell you how much they love you, but they don't love you like I love you. I love you just the way you are. And that's what he's telling Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was in a view. His view was a sycamore tree. Jesus' view was Zacchaeus' heart. He was looking for a heart that was open to receive him. And this little guy climbed a tree to be able to want to see Jesus. Jesus was on his way. Okay, he entered and the reception was more. Jesus is joyful to receive sinners and they are joyful to be saved. We know that the type of joy Jesus is greater because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Zacchaeus is a model to everyone of how to receive Jesus. Receive Jesus by seeking after him with real effort. Receive Jesus by humbling yourself. Receive Jesus no matter how sinful and hated you are. Receive Jesus as he invites you by name. Receive Jesus without delay. Receive Jesus by coming down to him. Receive Jesus himself. Receive Jesus into your life, your home. Receive Jesus joyfully. Receive Jesus despite what others say, receive Jesus with repentance and restitution. Receive Jesus. Zacchaeus re-announced his sin and Jesus proclaimed his salvation. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he goes to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, that's an understatement, right? I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house, to this house. Because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you feel lost? Do you want to be found? Come to Jesus. He'll find you. and you make your life better than what it is. He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. The people, they all, not only the religious leaders, thought Jesus had gone too far by associating with a man as bad as Zacchaeus. So they protested. Sounds familiar? Yeah, it's happening today. They're against what we stand for. They're against the one that we serve. And yet, Jesus is knocking at the heart, at the door of their heart, and saying, will you welcome me in? But these people, they saw who Zacchaeus was. They probably knew who he was. And instead of being overjoyed with him, they protested. That's what happens when you come to Jesus. You think you got friends? You come to Jesus and your friends are gone. The ones you thought they were friends. The ones you hanged around with and all your homies. Right? They're not around. Because you're not doing the same thing that you did before. And you know what Jesus says? Stick with me and we'll go places. Go with them and you're not going to end up in good company. So think about your walk with Christ. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Jesus wanted a relationship with Zacchaeus. Jesus did not reach Zacchaeus by going to his house. That character was of no consequence. On contrary, Zacchaeus perceived at once that character was the best consequence. So he stood forth and said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Look, Lord, I restore fourfold. In receiving Jesus and spending this little time with him, Zacchaeus knew he had to repent, make restitution. First, he just sought after Jesus. But in seeking Jesus, he also came to seek repentance. It goes hand in hand. If you're looking for Jesus, there's repentance in your way. And it's a good thing. I know. I was there. I answered that knock in 1981. And my life has been the best that I ever had. And I wouldn't trade it for anything else. I love my Lord. And I want to spend as much time with him as I can. Until he says, it's time to come home. You know, he's given me 76 years on this earth. Minus 32 of when I walk with the world. The rest is with my Lord. Okay? The same can be for you. Don't get discouraged. Understand that Jesus is right there beside you. And just like Zacchaeus, he wants a relationship. He wants to get to, for you to get to know him because he already knows you. But he can tell you things about you that you never thought anybody knew. And those are the things that God wants to bring out. Those are the things that He wants to change in your life. Those are the struggles that we sometimes have and we don't want to give to Him. But Jesus is faithful. He says, I'll have a relationship with you. And you know what? I'm going to grow on you. Every day is going to get better. And you're going to be itching and wondering and squirming. Says, what is this? And God is saying, that's my love for you. That's my mercy. That's my grace. He said, but it's making me squirm. And say, that's good. We got you moving. You've been sitting idle. It's time to get up. It's time to be able to actually get that ground underneath your feet to be able to actually draw up that dust. You know, I said, hey, Jesus is coming. I want to be ready. He had gone to be a guest with a sinner, a man who is a sinner. The people, well, I read this already, protested. He said, look, Lord, I restored fourfold in receiving Jesus and spending just a little time with him. Zacchaeus knew he had to repent and make restitution. But Zacchaeus cheerfully offered to do as much or even more than the law commanded. The promise to make restitution to everyone he had wronged was remarkable. Considering the way that he had made his money, it was unlikely that this would be a short list. Can a life change this quickly? Not every habit in the life of Zacchaeus changed immediately. But the heart changed, and there was some evidence of life change immediately. Today, salvation has come to this house. Jesus knew that the repentant Zacchaeus was saved, rescued from bondage, power, guilt, penalty of his sins. The word was no longer sinner, but salvation. And Jesus told everyone. Jesus commanded the rich young ruler to give away everything. It says in Luke 18:18-23. But Zacchaeus was enough to make restitution to those he wronged. And Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name and knew exactly what he must do to repent and be right with God and man. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There's no one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. What are you rich in? Education, knowledge, finances, attitude. What are you rich in? See, we can be like Zacchaeus and we can be joyful to be able to actually receive Christ. Or we can leave God's house sorrowful, knowing that we heard God's words being told, knowing that God has been speaking to you, to be able to come back to him if you strayed away from him. Knowing that if you don't know him, he's saying today is the day of salvation. And you can be like Zacchaeus over joy. Or you can be like the young rich ruler and leave God's presence sorrowful. Now Jesus said that it is impossible with man for the rich to enter into heaven. But it's possible with God. This is fulfilled of that promise. Zacchaeus became a joyful giver, thus showing God's impossible work in him. But the young ruler went away sorry, holding on to his riches. If you're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to give it up. All of it. Not part of it. The Lord says, if you're going to seek me with your whole heart. Not just half of it. If you want understanding of who God is, you got to be able to meet him on the road to Damascus. That he can speak to you and actually find place in your heart that he can tell you and say, you know what? All these things of the past, they need to go. And that's what Zacchaeus found. It went from sinner to salvation. Different title, different meaning. The priest of Jericho was a Levitical city, had probably often commanded Zacchaeus and called him to give to the poor. But after meeting Jesus, such a sacrifice was done joyfully. Love for Jesus can motivate us for greater thing than legalism, guilt, manipulation can ever do. The Son of Man had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus explained why he sought and extended friendship to a notorious sinner like Zacchaeus. Jesus came precisely to save people like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus really believed on Jesus. A true son of Abraham was not only descended from Abraham genetically, but also had the faith in God Abraham had. A Jew is not a Jew outwardly. A Jew is a Jew inwardly. A Christian is not a Christian outwardly. It's not the things that you're going to do for God. It's going to be the very life that he lives through you that's going to show a dying world who he is. So the things have to change inside to be able to be manifested outwardly. And Zacchaeus got it. He said, I want to see Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm going to be at your house. How do you like that? Okay. Even though Zacchaeus saw Jesus, it turned out that he was the one who was lost. And Jesus sought him, has come to seek. Zacchaeus has lost his parents, lost his religion, lost his community, lost whatever friends he might have had, and yet, in a sense, not lost God. As the story of his conversion unfolds, he's seeking Jesus in Luke 19:3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Turned out to be I think I read this one right. Maybe. Maybe I did. Yes, I did. You know, I'll finish it. Turn out to be the result of Jesus for seeking him. For the Son of Man is come to seek to, and to save that which is lost. The entire account of Zacchaeus gave us a remarkable who, what, where, when, why, and how of receiving Jesus. Who? Jesus wants to receive him. Those lost. What? Jesus wants with those who receive him. Relationship, not religion. Where Jesus wants to go? Down to him. When he wants you to receive him? Immediately, quickly. Why Jesus wants you to receive him? To be with him, to connect with him in life. And how Jesus wants you to receive him? Joyfully. I'm going to close this. I did this devotion this morning. This is by Oswald Chambers. To walk is not to faint. It's the greatest test of our ability to endure, requiring us to remain steadfast in the face of difficulty. In the Bible, the word walk is used to reveal character. John the Baptist, looking upon Jesus as he walked, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." In John 1:3-36. The Bible is never extracted. It is always vital and real. God doesn't give us vague instructions like, "Be spiritual," he says. He says, "Walk before me faithfully." There is no thrill in walking. We are in unhealthy states. When we are in an unhealthy state, either physically or emotionally, we always want thrills. In our emotional lives, thrilling seeking leads to arrogant affections and destruction of morality. If we insist on seeking a mountaintop experience, it leads us to the destruction of spirituality within us. When we walk faithfully before God, we walk secure in the knowledge that he is with us. We know that the reality of his presence doesn't depend on place or time or how we feel. No matter what, he is here. It's when we refuse to believe this that our problems begin. We stop walking. We start rushing about, trying to find him. Once we have found on the reality of his presence, we know the experience is the psalmist described. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way. Psalm 46:2. At critical moments in our lives, we find it necessary to ask the Lord for guidance, but it should be unnecessary to always be saying, "Oh Lord, tell me what to do." Of course he will tell you. That is what the reality of his presence means. God is always there, guiding. If you are walking faithfully before him, he will alert you whenever your common sense decisions are not in accordance with his will. Whenever this happens, simply quiet, be quiet, continue your walk, trusting in his presence. The fiery furnaces are there for God's direct permission. It is misleading to imagine that we are developed in spite of our circumstances. We are developed because of them. It is mastery in circumstances that is needed, not mastery over them. The circumstances that we go through in life, God is in control of. But God cannot do and will not do anything if you don't allow him. See, the ball is not on Jesus' court. If you play basketball, there's a term that they use. The ball is on your side of the court. And you need to make a choice as to whether you want to follow Jesus for the rest of your life, because there is a time that's coming, and it's pretty close, that people are going to have to make a decision. This is the food for your soul. But if you never pick it up, you're starving yourself. These are the words that God speaks. Even though man wrote them, and they were inspired by God's Holy Spirit to do so, these are God's words. And if you don't adhere to it, then it does nothing for your walk. It said you should not faint and not be weary. And yet, in today's time, we are looking at things that are going on in this nation that others take God's word for what it is. When they accept Christ in Africa, or they accept him in Afghanistan, or in Iran, or China, they take it literally to what it says. When they make a commitment to the Lord, it's with a heart that's open and knowing that nothing could be able to save them except Christ. So when they come and they ask them, deny Christ, the answer is no. But because we have so much freedom to be able to gather, and because we have so much stature of being able to actually get on the internet and collect as much information about who God is, that we have forgotten to pick up his word and just read it. And allow God to be able to speak to our hearts and show us who he is. We're all going to go through troubles and tribulations. But the Lord this morning is telling each one of us, do not faint. Do not waver. Because if you know him, that's what you want to hold on to. If you don't know him, that's what you got to do. And the day that you do will be about the best day of your life. Now, you had your birthday when you actually gave birth by your parents, or your mom. That was one birthday. When you come to Christ, you have another one, because you're reborn. The second one is just as important as the first one, because he made you. But when we're born, we're born separated from God. And God is saying, come back to me. With that, I'm going to invite Kim to come up. We're going to close in song, but I want you to think about this. This is just a short story about a young man, probably older than me, short little guy. But yet I can relate to this story because I was once there. But my encouragement to you is to be able to take heart what God has said this morning, apply it to your walk, apply it to your life. And if you're struggling with certain things, then bring them to God. He's there, ready to accept you just the way you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for this word. Lord, we ask that it's just a repeating of what you have been wanting us to know. And Lord, it's just a time to remember. Lord, we are in a short time. The end times are here, and you can send your son back at any time. And yet, Lord, there are millions or even trillions of people that probably still do not know you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you pour your Holy Spirit upon this church to be able to take your word of your son Jesus to those that are lost. Bless each person that's here. Show them exactly how much you love them. And daily, Lord, speak to them. Give them ears to hear, eyes to see, and most of all, heart to understand. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.